What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 54 of Valuetown, a talk show and podcast all about the great game that we all love, Hearthstone. I'm Chan Yan V, joined today by Raynad and Noxious. What's going on, fellas?
How much, man? Doing great.
Noxious,
likewise.
How about you, man?
Likewise. I'm pretty good, pretty good, yeah. It's like the first thing I do today is actually this podcast. I feel like I've been half awake for the rest of the day, but I'll make it through.
Man, it's only midweek, man. We still got a couple days. Actually, Thanksgiving is coming up. Do you guys do Thanksgiving? Wait, you're in Canada, right? Yeah, so you guys do Thanksgiving, right? Or is it different over there? I forget.
I don't know. I never do holidays, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm boring like that. I don't know.
What about you, Ray? Are you doing anything for Thanksgiving?
No. I'm going to stream.
All right. That's cool. That's what everybody wants to hear anyways, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is like the first one I'm not like doing stuff for, but it's always been like, I don't know, holidays are weird for me. I enjoy them, right? I enjoy holidays, enjoy being with people, but like it's just as enjoyable like not doing anything. So
emo, man. Okay. That's cool. That definitely I'll probably be watching at some point if you're streaming tomorrow, like at least late. But anyways, lots to talk about. Actually, somebody just got announced. Actually, Raina just notified me or told me that Blizzard just tweeted about the 2016 Hearthstone Championship Tour. So I haven't even got a chance to read it yet, but I know Raina, you've known like the details for a long time. So why don't we just like talk about it here? For those of you that haven't seen it, actually somebody's been, I think, posting it in the chat here. Let's just talk about this real quick, and then I'll follow up with some things. Oop, it's a little too long here. Okay, so there's definitely some differences, and let me bring up the actual page too. Here we go. So, all right, what do you guys notice are the differences? Looks like
majors, man.
Majors, yeah. That's cool, man. That's the thing I was like really hoping for. What are your thoughts on majors?
It's cool to have like more meaningful tournaments run by Blizzard throughout the year, other than just this one like world championship at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot. And it's kind of the trend that a lot of games, not just Blizzard, are taking. So they're moving away from like this whole like TI thing where there's like one tournament per year that matters, and, you know, spreading out the interest in the scene throughout a year, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of like, really, that's like the main difference. Aside from that, it's just like a lot of these small details that they've been hammering out for a long time. But Blizzard's esports team is really smart, so I think Trevor's in charge of most of this stuff. But they've been asking for feedback for a while. But it'll be better. It'll be like way better. The point distribution rebalancing is really important in my eyes.
Yeah, let's see. How does that going to work? So it has been rebounded.
For ladder, I think. Just basically whoever's at the top of Legend, they're not going to give everybody, like everything to the first spot, nothing to everyone else.
Right.
Maybe the events as well will have like a better evening out, yeah.
Okay. This distribution's more reasonable. I would, like, the difference between like 50th and 10th is 12 points, or 50th and 2nd is 12 points, which is, or sorry, 8 and 12 points. The difference is 4 points, which is like super reasonable. Points matter a lot now too.
Well, point,
yeah, they said that. Points
matter
a
lot,
reset,
dude. Yeah.
A reset.
No, they didn't matter
every season, but they say that basically the last call would be dependent on every single point you accumulated. But like, I'm not sure exactly if that really makes them more important than they already were.
Well, no, what I mean by that is there's way fewer points total. Like last year.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
true.
This year it didn't matter at all, like how many points you got. Like, it's like, handing them out like candy, and it's.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the total, yeah, you're right. The total will definitely be less.
Though there's only 4 points difference between 50th and 2nd. There should be like almost no difference, right? In skill level wise, as far as the way Hearthstone ladder works, it's a difference of 2 wins or losses within the last hour. So it's those two wins or losses, based on entirely skill, of course, are the difference of 4 points, which like this year wouldn't have been much. But here, points matter a lot. Like, because there's so few of them. You win a championship, you get 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, and finishing, like,
finishing first,
first
you get half
ranked,
of that. Yeah,
season. So. You basically get half the first place of a big event. So
it's kind of like the same as.
It was.
Yeah, well, first quite, was 50, and winning a tournament was 50, I think, right?
Yeah.
First, I mean, that applies to like, literally one person. That's. I guess top 10 gets you almost.
Yeah, the cups.
And then again, you know, top 100 still gets 5 for all that's worth. So,
so the cups are. Let's see. So these cups, I'm just assuming, are the smaller events, right? So 3, 2, 1 there.
Ooh, I don't like this. You get a point just for getting legend. I assume that's to incentivize people to play ranked. But I.
I guess, but remember. Like, how many points?
That's actually. Yeah.
It's like, how many points do you need to actually get into last call?
I mean, I don't know. You get 12 if you reach legend every season. So
I know,
grinding right there.
I think they're doing it to fill up their like regional thingies because
was it Baron last time? I guess I don't know.
I would have to read the whole thing. I don't know if.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a bad idea.
Here they did talk about it. On-site events, cool. So I can talk about it. So multiple fireside gatherings serving as the setting. For season preliminaries that lead into season championships, and there's more opportunities for you to attend local events that can be the favorite players. So,
where is that?
You basically, like, you get these points, you play these, you're playing things on site, right? You can't just play the whole like qualifier process online anymore. You know, like this year, for example, I played like 8 or 10 matches or whatever, because I started from last call up until wherever I eventually dropped out. Mm-hmm. And every single day I was like playing from a different place. You know, you play one from home, played one from like esports arena, played one from Blizzard office, played like, it's like this every single day, right? So the idea is that you get more competitive integrity if you do it on site. So you drive somewhere, play like the qualifiers, and then just like a Magic tournament sort of, but they have these computers.
Yeah,
they don't say details. So
yeah, I mean, like, how many sites will there be though? It's still going to be pretty
a lot.
Oh, they're okay.
As long as there's like
yeah.
Oh my god. Lot. Okay, as long as there's a lot. I mean, it's like, you know, if somebody has to drive like 504 miles, I mean, or take a plane, that kind of sucks, right?
No, there's a lot of them. Like I spoke to the guy who was in charge of organizing some of the fireside stuff, and basically there is almost too many to even keep track of.
That's cool, man.
Like, this guy's swamped. I don't even know how they're organizing all that. But like, I see here that they're allowing last hero standing for tournaments to points. You can play like LHS, Conquest, 4-hero 1-ban Conquest, or Blind Pick Best of 5. So they've got like 4 formats that they're allowing you to use for the games, which I think is actually pretty cool instead of Conquest.
You know, that's the big thing, right? Is like they acknowledge that Conquest is not the end-all be-all format, and if something better comes along after like the first major of the year, they're open to changing like the format of the World Championship. So
You know, one thing I don't love is really just the points being given to the Hearthstone Cup, you know, just the smaller events. I feel like we have too many of them right now.
I don't like that either, but they want to, like, encourage community to host their own events. You know, just giving no points at all to third-party formats would feel really shitty if, like, qualifies as a major. I was going to say, like, if somebody won Seed Story and they got no points and then they just didn't qualify for BlizzCon, like, well, that would be weird to the community, right?
I mean, I think
there are a lot of significant tournaments run by third parties, so they need to have those play into BlizzCon somehow.
Yeah.
Question is, what is a cup? Like, is
I think they have the events are eligible for awarding points here, maximum of 32 participants. I mean, there's a list of stuff. I just felt like this year there were just too many events, and as cool as that is, you know, just like from a high level standpoint looking down on it, I mean, just that's great, you know, that there's a lot of opportunities for the players, but at the same time, it's, you know, it starts to it starts to start, you know, becoming stale, or just, you know, seeing the same players each and every week just playing whatever event, you kind of lose the, you know, prestige of certain things. But the majors will help with that. The majors obviously will be will be, you know, pushed up above everything, and winning a major will be a big deal. So
it says no instant buys in Hearthstone majors. Invited players may have their spots reserved, but they'll start in the same round as all open play. See,
yeah, mm-hmm. That's,
they're gonna do only like no invite tournaments. So this is like interesting.
No, they're still because inviting.
Like yeah, but the thing about that is like nobody was getting buys for being invited. It never worked that way. I can't think of a single tournament that gave invited players buys over like qualified players.
Well, that would be
even
Firebat would be double crappy,
in,
right?
I don't think I've ever seen this. I mean, the thing is, maybe they want to make sure that, maybe put that down in wording just for the other like tournament organizers to make sure that they also, at their discretion, follow the same kind of rule set. But I don't know.
Yeah,
they do that a lot.
Well, anyway, for the viewers, you know, a lot of you guys might not care about this stuff, but you should care. Next month is like starting in 5 days. Your ladder points matter, so.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, I mean, matter more than, well, I mean, they mattered a lot before, but at least, you know, getting to even 100th, you know, like 50 to 100th now matters. And I think that was important, just really extending the number of the number of spots that are competitive. Because I felt like people were super competitive for the top 20 spots before, maybe in the top 10 spots, actually, really. But now I think it extends, you know, a little bit further, which is cool. But exciting, you know, at least they're making changes, and, you know, they're listening to the community and switching it up. So I'm excited about it. $1 million total is really, really cool. Actually, how's that breaking up there? So 100,000, what is this per region? So is BlizzCon's going to be,
BlizzCon's going to be, from what I gather, $1 million, and it's 100K for each major.
Oh, okay, with 100 pool for, okay, so in addition to it, wow, okay.
So, right, that's, so the one, awesome, like, it's actually $1 million for the HWC itself, which is astronomical.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's massive. It's unreal. It's unrealistically big. But, I mean, you kind of have to expect it with the popularity of the game. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know how much like they liked being taken. Got cut off by ATLC having a prize pool as big as their world championship. Maybe this time they're like, you know what, we're gonna bump it up four times over. Make sure nobody even thinks of coming close.
I don't think Blizzard even felt inadequate or anything about that.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
WCA beat the BlizzCon prize pool like a year before before ATLC.
They don't seem to care too much about that.
I doubt WCA is even the only Chinese tournament that had a higher prize pool. I bet there are more. But they don't. The prize pool is not a big thing. Like it's just they're bumping it up because it's like more developed nowadays. Like the Hearthstone scene is like it's something people expect, look forward to, follow. They feel like if Hearthstone grows, the competitive scene at least, then you know the prize pool might as well.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I know. Definitely big news. I mean, this is definitely huge, and it's good to hear that they're you know, kind of solidifying all of this, you know, right before even January, because
They have to do it before December, right? Because next month is gonna count towards this, so they need to
December. Yeah,
there would be like outrage if December ended and people were like, oh, I didn't know these points mattered last month, and main takeaway here is one legend point. Just for getting legendary, so all Tempo Storm users going to BlizzCon confirmed.
That's right, man. You can be in the mix, man.
It's Tempo Storm last call qualifier.
That's right. Every Tempo Storm.
What it is.
That's a lot of people, man. It's gonna be some huge tournaments.
Yeah, it's a lot of zoo players.
A lot of zoo players. Oh man, we're gonna be talking about that soon. All right. Well, that's definitely cool. I actually just remember there's a few details I wanted to talk about today's show too, that we're going to be doing call-ins later on today for the first time on Valuetown. And the way you do that is you're going to join the Discord channel that we have here, and WarsGG, he's going to be my admin in that channel, is going to be the person to talk to, and he's going to, you know, ask you what kind of questions you're going to ask and all that good stuff, and then we'll figure out how to, you know, get you guys into the call-ins at the very, very end. But here's the Discord channel. Go ahead and join there. Hang out there for now. This is the Champion V1 anyway. It's just everybody hangs out there. And then we'll figure that out. But today we're going to be talking about cards. We're going to be talking about just reviewing the cards that we talked about last week and just seeing if, you know, our opinions changed or not pertaining to them. And then we're going to talk about a couple of Raynad decks, maybe even a Noxious deck here. And then we've got one deck for Tink My Deck. We're kind of reintroducing that segment where we give some of our, I guess, advice or opinions with a viewer's deck or a fan's deck that we can help improve. But let's talk about a few of the cards that were released in this second wing. You know, last Value Town, we didn't get a chance to actually play the cards. We were just kind of evaluating some of what we thought. But now that we've had about a week to play these cards, I kind of want to get your opinions on them. And we'll kick things off with Bran. Bran was, you know, kind of the big card that everybody was waiting for, and, you know, just all the cool synergies and combos that we could do with Bran. What do you guys think about Bran after playing it for a week? Noxious, you want to go?
I haven't played it that much. Ray. Yeah, Noxious, you'd know better than me.
No, actually, like, it's one of those cards that I really thought would have, like, a lot more appeal than it did. But it's, like, I think the card on its own is fun, but its actual effectiveness is very, very limited. There's really not that many Battlecries that I'm happy to play with Bran, so I ended up trying to find room for it, and eventually you end up making decks to make Bran work, which is just the same as making Baron Rivendare work, which just doesn't work too well. But it's definitely a lot more potent. I mean, if you play Defend of Argus with it, it's amazing. Even Abusive Sergeant, like, that's pretty much the deck that I brought, basically, like a very aggressive Battlecry-oriented deck. But I guess Milrogue is doing a lot of work with it, but that's because they already draw through all their decks, so they can half reliably get to it and maybe get, you know, better heal bots. So it's kind of playing into their game plan. Not so much for anyone else, though. And I'm a little disappointed, but
Ray?
Too bad.
Yeah.
I was saying for a long time that Brown, I just don't like. Like, I thought it was a terrible card. it was like the card people are really excited for because it's the Baron Rivendare effect. They think of the stupidest, highest impact battle cry that they can, and they're like, oh my god, I'm going to get two of these and win the game. But in reality, you can't really build around a legendary that I thought the only deck it might see playing is the Rumbling Elemental Shaman deck, because then you actually have like three cards that reward you for battle cries, instead of just one. Like Noxious said, it's hard to build around like one card in your deck. It turns out Bran is like a little bit better than I thought. People keep like trying to get me to put him into everything, which is just a tilt.
Try to combo with 100 cards that it combos.
I build the token deck. I'm like, oh, Raynad, play Bran Bronzebeard. It's like, fucking why? So I can get. Like, you realize if you copy Defender of Argus, you're getting an extra +1/+1 in stats. It's like almost the equivalent of playing
plus a
Blackwing Connection.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's like the dream in that deck, and they're like telling me to cut Reliquary Seekers for it. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't know.
No, but you can
like
keep it with the Reliquaries, right? Like, it's even better.
Right, yeah. Because you get another Reliquaries. Right? When I have seven minions and play a one mana 5/5, I usually lose those games, right? If only that was a 9/9, that would have won.
Exactly.
That's a BGA triple that it wasn't before. Yeah,
that's true. I think it'd be worse.
Might actually be better as a 5/5.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. No, I agree. Yeah, with Bran, it's there's so many. Well, okay, here's a question. Would it make any difference if you could play two of them? Or is it still the same thing?
Probably. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's the big thing with me, too. It's just like, you don't build a deck around this card because it just doesn't, you know, it's very situational. I mean, you probably only get it like, what, 20% of the time or something like that? So, depending on your deck, it's hard to, you know, it doesn't have nearly the impact Reno has. Reno's like way more impactful.
I think like it's hard that people will include in decks that just happen to have a lot of battle cries.
Yeah.
Just right now, there aren't a lot of decks like that.
Do you think it enhances the mill decks, or do you think even the mill rogue even needs it with all the?
I've been trying to win on ladder, so I haven't played a single game of mill. I don't know, man.
Oh man.
I've seen a lot of people playing it. It must be good, right? So many people are running it. It's really it's got to be good with Shadow Step because with seven mana you get like 2 extra cold light triggers basically. So yeah, in Rogue, it's in Rogue Mill, it's good. Mm-hmm. But is Rogue Mill playable? I would be surprised.
Could ask Ryzen,
no, it's
man.
Even worse Ryzen now that Aggro's like... come back. Like Aggro's yeah. actually, like Secret Paladin was quote unquote aggressive, but really not. Like it's not Aggro in the way that you see Zoo and Shaman being right now, which is like if you mail those decks, mm-hmm. you're dead. There's literally no way for you to actually do anything about it. Unless you get a really clutch prep vanish. So I think Mail Rogue right now is weak just because everything that's on the ladder is aggro, but for some reason that's not, I think, a trend that's going to stop anytime soon, so I don't think Mail is going to be playable for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Too bad.
What about Keeper of Aldemon? That's the next one. Keeper of Aldemon is the Paladin card, right? That changes any card to a 3-3, 3-4. Or it's a 3-4 card that changes a 3-3. Okay, so were you able to use it this past week in a good Paladin deck?
A little bit. Like, it's the kind of card that's, like, always at least fine and very rarely exceptional. How do I put it? Like, it's playable, and it's fine. The question is, do you play it over things like, you know, Shredder, Blessing of Kings, True Silver, Consecration? And that's a really tough question to answer. You know, it's going to take a lot of games to figure out, like, how many keepers do I want? Is this card better or worse than the other four drops?
Right.
Right now, I don't know. But I do know it is playable, and it's definitely, like, in contention with the other four drops. So.
All right. Yeah, Noxious, you play any of this card?
Yeah, I've played a lot of it. But, again, it's always the four-slot problem that Reynard brought up. I felt like this card would be a lot better than it turned out. Like it gives you some really clutch plays sometimes, you know, on turn three, you go muster, then somehow, you have a turn four, Aldemon into a trade into Shredder. Like it happens sometimes, or you manage to negate a massive Dr. Boom and suddenly it's not as big a threat. But usually for at that point and you're already playing from behind, then, you know, BGH would 10 times better than Aldemon in that position. So there's a lot of spots where Aldemon looks like it's good, but it would actually be better if it were something else, or even a second True Silver in the mid game. So I'm like, I want the card to work, but I don't think we have yet a deck where it's necessary. Like, you might as well just get tempo out of other cards, because unless you make, like, a big 1-1 Divine, like an Argent Squire 3-3, I'm not all usually impressed.
I mean, that's a good way to put it. Like, there's always a card that's better. The thing about Keepers, it's, like, it's so flexible, so it's pretty much never bad, but it's also never exceptional, you know? Mm-hmm. When you use its ability on like a Sea Giant or Dr. Boom, it's like, okay, it's cool that I have an answer, but it's not like a great answer ever. That's the issue with it.
All right. Next, what about Tunnel Trog? You guys think of Tunnel Trog? I saw you were playing it in one of the decks we're going to discuss here, that your Shaman deck. Initial thoughts on it?
I mean, this is the card I was probably the most excited for because it opened up a new class. But I actually think, like, at least this week before the new cards come out, Shaman's, like, easily the best deck in the game. I don't think it's, like, remotely close.
Wow, okay.
The fall-off between Shaman and the second-best deck is, like, really big. So, yeah, man, this card's real good.
So one card takes it from... on Tempo Storm.
No, one drops from it's one drops drop from.
Balance. I know, yeah. But still, like it takes it from the basement, literally tier four to tier one, like in the with just one
in my
card.
Eyes.
That's pretty
yeah.
amazing, man.
I mean, I built like a suboptimal. The first version of Aggro Shaman I tried suboptimal started at rank like been like rank 200 legend. Mm-hmm. And within an hour and a half, I was rank 5 legend. Like, and then, you know, the whole streaming thing happened, but that wasn't even a good version of the list. Eloise takes the deck like 2 days ago. She climbs from rank 15,000 legend in China to rank 5 legend, like with a completely different version of Aggro Shaman. It's like, you know, the card is, it's not that the card in and of itself is broken. It's not how cards work in Hearthstone, but it's like kind of the missing piece. It's what Shaman's needed for a long time, and Aggro Shaman's definitely here to stay. But like once all the wings are released for League of Explorers, Shaman, I don't think we're not getting any more Shaman class cards, right? Mm-hmm. So Aside from Sir Finley, there's no card that comes to mind off the top of my head that is an addition to Shaman, whereas other classes get a lot. So the reason Shaman is like the best class right now is just because all the wings aren't out. So I'm sure it won't be the best class after all the wings are out, but like right now, this week, it's the best deck in the game.
All right, Noxious, you agree with that? Shaman best?
Yeah, deck it's kind of hard not to agree. I mean, Mech Shaman was already good at, like, it was okay. I mean, the last we saw of it in tournament play was ATLC, pretty much. I think when RDU started, I mean, that's the last I saw, at least. It kind of fell off, but it's always been missing that imbalanced one drop, like the Mana Worm style of one drop. Mm-hmm. You know, the not Clockwork Gnome or Cogmaster one drop, the one that doesn't just die off to anything. And now that they have that, and the fact that they can curve into Totem Golem, now they've got a good reason to play it. There were a lot of decks that, like, you don't even have to run mech. Like, that's the cool thing about the card, is it works in all those things. What I want to see, though, is whether or not that card even has a spot in mid-range. Because from what I've seen, you know, I hoped the card will also work in mid-range Shaman a lot better than it has. But somehow, I feel like Zombie Chow is still superior in that spot, for the most part. Unless you can absolutely get that curve going. If you miss your curve in mid-range, I feel like Tunnel Trog doesn't do anything. Like, it's just kind of a dead card, and I might as well run something else. I don't know if you've had that experience as well, playing around with it.
Go ahead. Yeah, you definitely can play it over Zombie Chow or in addition to it. It's definitely, like, good in all versions. The first deck I played it in was mid-range Shaman, which was, like, you know, like, the day this card came out, I'm like, oh, let me put it in a Shaman deck, and I wasn't even thinking aggro. But after having played with, like, the more aggressive lists a lot, I feel like that's just, like, the direction you want to go.
Yeah.
When you build a mid-range Shaman deck or a slower one, you're forced to include all of these random, like, one to two ofs that gain life and all of this. You hope you draw it in the right time and the right matchups. And it's so much better to just, like, be proactive, go face. And, yeah, I don't know, man.
It has more impact, for sure, yeah, doing that. Like crackling with a, you know, Tunnel Troll or a Tunnel Trog and that sort of thing works a lot better in aggro than in the mid-range Shaman. I tried the Vintage Shaman too. It didn't have as much of impact, but it was still fun. It was still fun getting a chance to buff it, like, you know, once you get even off of turn one. So definitely cool. Yeah, the Aggro Shaman. We're going to talk about that deck in just 1 second here. But the last card that to discuss is the Unearthed Raptor, which, you know, is the rogue card, 3/4. That allows you to copy a Death Rattle, right? A friendly Death Rattle. Any of you guys got a chance to play Death Rattle Rogue at all?
Barely. But, like, the most I did was... Because the thing is, I tried the whole tempo type of deck. Because, I mean, it's a 3 mana 3/4. You think, oh, yeah, I'm going to play that in a more, you know, tempo-ish type of deck. But, unfortunately, I feel like it works a lot better in hyper aggro. Maybe not hyper, but something of a very aggressive list where you play, you know, Leper Gnomes and you play Loot Hoarders and Blood Mage Thalnos. And that's kind of the most value I've gotten out of it. I thought to make it work, obviously, with Nerubian Egg. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you play double Squire, double Leper Gnome, double Egg with Argent, like the Lens Carrier guy. If you can buff the Argent Squire or the Egg, you're good to go. And then you can slap the Raptor on top, get yourself a 4/4. Like, against Warrior, that's really good. But if you're not facing off against those and you're still losing to the other aggro decks, then I feel like I haven't been able to find a spot for it that just makes me think, yeah, this card is busted and I just want to play with Unearthed Raptor and Rogue. Instead, I just want to play, you know, the Jeweled Scarab in Oil Rogue. Like, that's pretty much all that changed for me in the new expansion from League. But it's sad.
Yeah, it's not a card you can really put into Oil Rogue. It's... people keep sending me, like, Death Rattle Rogue lists on stream, and they're all, like, kind of different, and I don't know, decks just kind of feel all over the place, you know, they're trying to fit in all these spells so that they can do broken rogue things, but then they're playing, like, these Nerubian Eggs that they have, like, almost no activators for, and it's tough, man. It's like, if I play turn two Nerubian Egg and follow up with Raptor, and I don't have a way to use the initial Nerubian Egg, like, it's like you spent two cards and five mana to, you know, get the good Raptor, which is still silenceable. So is that good enough? I don't know.
Yeah.
I do agree with Noxious. In aggro decks, that's the place it'll be, like, very good. But right now, I think as powerful of a card as it is, and it is one of the best three drops in the game in a vacuum. It's just, it's in the only class where it's balanced. I think, like, as more cards get released, maybe it gets better. But.
Okay. Well, why don't we talk about some, and we just kind of introduce our deck tech sure. segment here.
Deck tech initiating.
All right, here we go. So we've got three rogue decks from Kashmir that was posted on competitive Hearthstone, you know, just the subreddit. And list three of them here. Actually, Just Saying is one of them. And there's two other variations that you can see here, LQYD and Doctor. A little bit differences in each of them. I kind of want to get your opinion on which one you think is better. There's more one that's more aggro-centric. There's one that's more control, very control-centric. And there's another one that's kind of in between.
I mean, the Doctor one looks good on paper. Mm-hmm. The thing with Saiyan's deck is, like, these are the kinds of lists I get linked to me on stream, you know? Is a card really good if it's forcing you to place Needs Old Shredder in your deck? I don't know, man.
I've played this type of deck, whoa, for sure. The Just Saiyan one, yeah.
Like, you have to draw your Raptor Emperor's Needs to... Yeah, yeah.
No, the Doctor's actually, like... I feel like Doctor looks good.
It's mostly because
the whole Sneeds KT thing. I mean, it's kind of interesting because it's a spin on the control rogue. Obviously, like, at this point, it's basically control. Yeah, like, that's what it's going for.
You kind of have to, yeah, right? Like, if you're trying to copy Sneeds' Death Rattle, then it's got to be some type of control.
And for all I know, Saiyan's list is the best one, but Doctor's looks the prettiest on paper. But without playing them, it's hard to say, like, which one's the best. But yeah, it's first one's more of, like, traditional.
With aggro being so popular right now, can any of these really work? I mean, there is a lot of removal. See, like, still backstabs.
You got backstabs, zombie chows. You got the creepers, the hoarders. I feel like Just Saiyan's list has enough early game, and the double fan of knives really helps against all the flood. Like, mm-hmm. whether it's Pally or it's Zoo, you're gonna be fine. You've got one. The double Belcher plus Heal Bot also helps against some of the more, minion-centric decks that you can't just shake off with Phantom Knives. I kind of like it, but I feel like would you play that over, say, another class instead, right? Because it's a fun innovation for Rogue, but would I play that if my goal is to control the board and get big threats down? Probably not, but...
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's... I think noticeably missing from these decks is any kind of weapon centric cards, right? Like the poisons, the oils, and assassin's blades. They're not here. So is the hero power even? You know, it kind of negates the hero power, or at least these type of decks. I think your hero power is actually not synergistic at all with this deck.
Yeah, the cool thing about the rogue hero power is it's the strongest early game hero power by a mile.
That's true.
And you want to. It's one of the few decks that's very okay with just using the hero power turn two. Mm-hmm. So when you're, like, playing a two drop and not hero powering, by the time you do hero power, it's what, turn like four or six or eight, and the dagger is just way less impactful at that stage. I feel like the biggest sacrifice here is that you're not playing, like, preparation. You're not doing one of the few broken things that rogue can do. You're just playing, like, good dudes in a deck together, and
yeah,
it's like, you know, like, what does this deck do that Zoo doesn't?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Play Sneeds.
Yeah, play Sneeds. Yeah, you can copy Sneeds, man. Copy Sylvanas and cool things like that.
It's cool on paper, though. Yeah. I think that's kind of what the Raptor, like, that's what the Raptor was, maybe not intended to be, but that's what people wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Is lists like these is what they saw it in. With so many death rattles that you're putting in just to enable the Raptor at some point. And, you know, Saiyan took it a step further, whereas Doctor went for the most, the more aggressive line. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's kind of, it's interesting to see both people, you know, build different things.
It's getting closer. I think Rogue's getting closer, you know, this type of Rogue. I mean, even copying, like, Haunted Creeper is pretty good for a 3-4, right? I mean, the death rattle. So maybe one or two more cards for Rogue, and we could see some... You know, some more tempo-based or mid-range type of rogues becoming, or aren't oil rogues, right? Starting becoming viable. That'd be really great to see. All right, well, next let's talk about some of Reynad's aggro decks here, since aggro seems to be the place, you know, just the type of deck to be playing right now on the ladder. Let me bring it up real quick. And we'll start.
The token deck is not aggro, but.
Oh, is it? Let me see. Oh, the Zoo deck, you mean?
People call it that. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's. Yeah,
it's more mid range, honestly.
It's more mid range than it is aggro. That's a good point. Okay, so we'll bring it up. It's on tempostorm.com, of course. So check it out here. okay, yeah, so talk about it. So just some things to point out are obviously Death Peddler, Reliquary Seeker is obviously a card that you don't get a chance to see very much. And then Gormak, of course. So talk about some of the main points of the deck.
Play a lot of dudes. Play Sea Giant, play Reliquary Seeker. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's a Zoo deck that wants you to get your minions around.
Right.
Yeah.
Just play a bunch of shit and then just get those guys down. yeah, okay.
Yeah, the interesting thing with this kind of deck is that the... how do I put it? Like, there's so many cards that are good with tokens, like Cult Master, Direwolf Alpha, Dark Iron Dwarf. Like, these cards that really, like, work well in a token deck, but they're not in this list because I've found, like, while I was building this deck, that there's actually two kinds of token cards. There's the ones that want you to, like, lose your tokens, and there's ones that want you to keep your tokens around. Mm-hmm. So Reliquary Seeker, Sea Giant, and Gormak want you to keep them around, whereas... you know, Cult Master wants you to like trade them off. So even though it's a token deck, I don't think you want to play cards like Cult Master in the same list. Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Is this the latest anyway, version of it? Like, this is the most recent version of it? Because this is really just the one that was, I think.
Yeah, the only thing I changed is one Zombie Chow I turned into an Enhanzo Meccano because I wanted a second Gormak.
Right.
But. That's the only change I really made to it.
Yeah. It's interesting because this list is basically like I have another list that was pretty much around the same time. I had like four cards difference, and I didn't play Echoing Oozes. And I'm still not sure I like them that much. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't really think of anything better. I'm playing cards like Knife Juggler. Just seems so greedy to me. Also, fuck that card.
you've always hated that card, man.
Yeah, any excuse to cut it, dude. I can justify it in that it doesn't make two dudes like Ooze in this deck. So
yeah,
you deck without
well,
a juggler.
Making two dudes is, you know, important, right, for this deck. It's just to get the siege.
I've never. I don't think I've ever lost a game where I rolled a four on my first implosion either. So you just have like a 33% chance of winning the game right off the bat, which is good. Like 5% in my case, but that's pretty good.
Never lucky. All right, yeah, this deck is definitely strong. You see a lot of this deck too ever since you started playing it, of course, and it was posted on Reddit. So
lose to it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a strong one. Okay, so the next deck we'll talk about. Oh, actually, I have this. Whoops. Let me change the title here. And the next one we have is. The Shaman deck.
I linked a newer-ish one in Discord.
Okay, let me find it.
I'll link it again. It's in the general chat.
All right. Yeah, and those of you just tuning in, you know, while we're doing this, we are doing call-ins. So today on Value Town. So join up in Discord. I'll give you the link real quick here again in case. The mods aren't linking it, and go ahead and join up. Talk to WarsGG, and then he'll get you ready to join with us at the very end of the show. Okay, so all right, I'm not gonna bring it in the card view.
Just pull them up side by side if you have both.
Okay, let me. Oh, it's gonna be hard because the other one's actually on Tempo Storm. we'll just go one at a time. We'll go one at a time here. All right, so
sure.
Web view here. All right, so. Yeah, just talk about this one generally. This one has Ancestral Knowledge. Okay, cool. Two of them, actually. This is all doubles. Nice and short. Kind of love that.
Yeah. This is like a combination of Eloise's list and my list. Like the first list I started with was I wanted to make like the most consistent aggro deck. I want to have the most consistent openings possible. Mm-hmm. That's usually where shamans, like, you know, a little bit sketchy. If you don't draw your one of your two tunnel frogs, then like your hand would fall apart. So what I did is I played like, you know, Mech Warper or Noitron. I gave it that whole curve. And that was cool because all your opening hands are nuts. But the problem with that deck is it has so many dead draws, like in the late game, because you're playing like all these low impact minions. Whereas Eloise's list is like the opposite approach. She plays like no early game aside from Totem Golem, Whirling, Zap-O-Matic, and Tunnel Trog. Uppernum, I guess, if you want to count that. And then her deck is just like all burn and card draw after that. Hmm. So like once the opponent's put in the defensive, she's like drawing very live, like no dead draws. And this list is basically me saying, okay, like Eloise's deck is going in the right direction. It's more aggressive. Well, it's not more. My first one's more aggressive. Hers is like better top decks. And this one is me saying, okay, your deck is good, but not playing Power Mace is just dumb. So, like, this is me like enabling Power Mace without the Mech Warper parts of the deck, which I think works reasonably well.
Let me show the old one real quick here, so one second have some kind of reference.
This one's dirty. I haven't lost it, or I only played like five games with this. I lost one of them, but I'm probably gonna stream this deck today.
The one that we were just looking at, right?
Yeah. The newer one. This is the first one. This one just like farmed. I don't know, man. This didn't lose like for a lot of games.
I played
but
this one.
I wonder...
too. It's good.
Yeah.
It's funny because this deck is like I casted a tournament. What was it? 2 days ago, I think, over the weekend. And one of the finalists on the open qualifier had a list that was basically, I think, this. Because it was running basically double Ancestral, double Azure Drake for card draw, double Doomhammer. He was running Power Maces without the whole necessity to play mechs. He didn't end up winning because, of course, if you whiff the one and two, then you're pretty much out of it. Like, if you don't pick up, you know, one and two drops very often, if they have something, they're playing something remotely aggressive like Secret Pally, then you're going to be in a rough spot. But the transition from, like, the early to the mid to the late game was actually pretty good. Like, there's no way to really stop the top decks from coming over. And then you always get blasted by top decks. You know, as you said, when they are put in the defensive, like, Eloise starts to draw. That's pretty much what the deck does, though. Like, the modification you made doesn't prevent that at all. Like, it's still live.
Yeah, this first one is pretty different, I would say.
Yeah, it's kind of got the two lines. It's kind of got the overload guys, and then it's kind of got the mech guys. So I remember like just mulliganing. It's like I always get like a little bit of both, and I tend to have to choose between whether I want to go with a mech opening or a more of the overload opening. So
just look at the curve on it. Like, I mean, it's the lowest curving shaman deck of all time. That's nuts.
Yeah, that's definitely
most expensive card is like if you don't count Doomhammer, it's 3 mana.
Yeah.
And there's only like 2 3-mana minions, 2 3-mana spells. The rest of the deck costs 2 or 1. It's a pretty smooth deck as far as draws go. But yeah, this one's just like two. I was in low ranks, I'd play a list like this, I think. And then in higher ranks, people are like better at playing around the strategy now that they know what it's trying to do. And they mulligan like very aggressively for early game, and decks like Reno will give you trouble with that list, whereas this list still beats Reno.
Really? Wow, there's that much damage in this list. That's cool. All right, I'm going to have to try this one right after the show.
Yeah. I don't mean that it beats like Reno the card, because that's still going to beat you most of the time, but it beats like a bunch of Warlock removal into a Sludge Belcher, which the other list won't. This is kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It's good, man. It's dangerous. Like, Ancestral Knowledge, too, very bad card, but, man, it's, like, just barely good enough here. Just so all your draws are always live.
Yeah, especially if you get a Tunnel Try. At least you get some value from it, too, just from the overload. That's our double value from it. Okay, well, you guys should definitely try this deck out. You'll definitely climb the ladder pretty quickly when you start playing this. At least that was my experience. Noxious, you have a priest deck we want to take a look at. It might not be legend. He's kind of
no, dude. It's not
precursors.
Even,
like, it's not legend. But it's still fun. It's still definitely fun.
It's absolutely insane.
All right, here we go.
In the way it doesn't
let
work
me link
well.
It to you. Actually, Ray. If you don't have it, here we go.
Yeah. It's just fun. But it's really fun.
So it's called Shadow Brand Beard or Bronze Beard.
Yeah.
So talk about it, man.
So, it's Aggro Priest, basically. I've tried to make Aggro Priest work multiple times. It's obviously not remotely refined. I barely even work on this. But I wanted to make sure that I included Brand in Aggro Priest. And it gave me a justification to finally include Abusive Sergeants in the deck. And Collateral Calls, because I used to cut those because the card draw wasn't relevant. And I played, Cultists that have high health to use with Circle and Northshire. In this list, though, you're kind of playing for, the whole Mind Blast and everything. You're drawing with the Cold Lights when you're running out of steam. Works with Loot Hoarder, Blood Mage Thalnos. You also get a bit of extra draw. Jeweled Scarab can get you Cultists if you need them. Valence Chosen. You don't really use Thoughtsteal most of the time unless you're against, say, Warlock or... you've got nothing else to choose from. But there's a lot of really good 3-drops in Priest. And I'm probably going to swap those out for the Curator guy. Like the 1/2 that draws Death Rattles once it comes out.
Oh, yeah. That card's really good.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the intent. Like, the intent is basically just draw cards. You've got a lot of card draw in the deck. And you try to use Brand with Abusive Shadow Bombers. That's 6 damage for 1 mana. So it's really not that much. But once you start stacking up all the damage sources, it gets a bit obscene. And I'm putting 2 Alcanize with 2 Circles as, like, kind of safety in some cases. Like Secret Paladin, sometimes you'll need that if you don't, curve necessarily. And, Abusive Sergeant doesn't do much against them. Muster for Battle kind of sucks. And the interesting part about this deck is I don't put Chows in it. I used to have Zombie Chows because I figured, might as well have the extra health. But as soon as Brand came out, I decided to put back the Cold Lights in because it's really a crazy tempo swing, like in the mid game or like on turn 6. If you can draw yourself 4 cards, 2 of which could be Mind Blast or Shadow Bomber, I feel like eventually an Aggro Priest that looks something like this, but a lot of cards will be different, obviously, will be viable. I just don't know when. That's what really frustrates me, is that I keep trying to make Aggro Priest work without using the whole Death Lord plus Injured Blade Master shenanigan, like literally Ebola Church. I keep trying to make that work. It just doesn't work so far. It's probably like rank 5, but I don't think you'll climb past that.
I like that the battle cries that you're using with Braun are pretty cheap. It's a big deal. Like Shadow Bomber gives you another 1 mana battle cry that, so like, you can actually play Braun in like a reasonable turn, like turn 5, and get 2 triggers out of it. So that could be pretty good. What cards are in it below Cold Light Oracle? I don't see them in the...
Oh, it's only 2 Alcanize. That's it.
Yeah, it curves out at 4. Yeah. Which is
I used to put Holy Novas and Azure Drakes for card draw. But I ended up cutting the Nova earlier today. But it's like, you can probably modify it a lot. Lance Carrier's done a lot of work, I found, with Northshire and Argent Squire. You can get a lot of early game buffs. And even though the card is mediocre, that's kind of what makes it good, and that nobody kills it, and the Valence Chosen lands more often than not. Same thing with Jewel's Carib, which will become the Curator eventually.
There's a lot of card drawing. Like, do you need the powered shields? And
I mean, Leprechaun powered shield is obscene.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
it makes you want to gouge your eyes out.
Shield is maybe like the strongest card in Hearthstone. I think it's the only card in the game that you would play 2 of in every deck.
Okay.
Given the choice, yeah, probably.
Even it's even better than Innervate, because Innervate you wouldn't play in like Face Hunter.
So what card do you think it's missing? Like Noxious, like what card is Priest missing that would, like, it's the Tunnel Trog for Priest, basically.
Well, they need the Curator might be the 2-drop that they need, because like, on one hand, it's a 1/2, which is absolutely horrible, but it's got enough health that it doesn't get pinged, and it's also not threatening enough that anybody kills it. So it's falling in that Valence Chosen perfect target spot. It becomes a 3/6 with Valence Chosen. So I feel like once we get that, and you can get rid of the Jeweled Scarabs in the deck, maybe that's going to be enough. Like, Shadow Boxer just doesn't cut it for 2-drops. Wormer Stagion is a 2-drop, but for a very specific type of deck. So I'm still looking for that. I was trying out Flame Jugglers in this list initially, because it's a 2/3, it deals 1 damage immediately, but it still doesn't work nearly as well as Lance Carrier for the most part, as far as aggro goes. Like, maybe just a solid way to give you Shadow Form without having to put Shadow Form in your deck would be good. Like, the 1 mana Murloc is going to be an auto-include in this list. Like, there's no reason not to put it in. Like, that hero power barely does work for you. And if I can add another 1 mana 1/3, which is absolutely crazy stat wise for Priest, then that's going to give me, you know, the ability to get the Hunter Hero Power, Warlock Life Tap, like anything goes. It's going to be absolutely stupid.
Yeah, he's talking about Murgleton, the Murloc that changes Sir Finley, the Murgleton. Yeah, Sir Finley. Right. So yeah,
that card's ridiculous.
I know, right?
Gonna make the Shaman deck really good too.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Hero Power Shaman is like in that aggro Shaman doesn't even matter right now. So
I haven't run the numbers, but I would guess it's about 50-50 or like 45% to get Hunter or Warlock. Mm-hmm. So if you get either of those, you make any aggressive list like very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting. We'll see how that affects decks. But yeah, this kind of deck looks cool. That new 2-drop for Priest, though, that card is... That's what's going to balance out Shaman on ladder. Because it's going to make Priest more popular. Like, here we are, five expansions in now? Is it the fifth time cards have been released or something?
Next, GVG, BRM, TGD. Yeah, it's the fifth time, yeah.
So here we are, five expansions in, and Blizzard finally decided to print a 2-mana card for Priest that you can play in a non-dragon deck. And yeah, it's gonna be a real kid class now.
The card they're talking about is the Museum Curator, which I'll show you here.
Expect decks like Priest or Shaman to be competitively viable when decks like Mage get Mana Worm into Mad Scientist since Nax, and Priest gets Northshire into Hero Power the opponent. It's now that Priest actually has a 1-drop and a 2-drop. Again, five expansions in. I can't stress enough how absurd that is. How long that took. Now we can actually play Priest and see what the class does. I'm excited.
Right,
some versatility to it at least. We've been seeing the same Priest over.
It doesn't even matter what it does. Like it needs to be like barely better than Novice Engineer or just like slightly playable and
what
is like fixes Priest, you know, something to do turn two. All the death rattles are good.
People never played Novice Engineer, right? People were playing like Wild Pyro,
right?
And
sure,
cards like that, right? That were more about removal than it was about, you know, any kind of tempo or that sort of thing.
It was about time. You would like keep it and you would play it as Bloodfin Wrap like 90% of the time and just feel bad, man. that card. I don't know.
Everything Priest had was always a gimmick. Like whenever you saw them include stuff like Shrinkmeister or
Shrinkmeister,
like Shadow Boxer. Like I thought that maybe, you know, Mech Priest. There was a point which was actually kind of an interesting one where Priest with mechs looked like that Clockwork Knight. Looked solid. I was like, yeah, this is definitely giving the upgraded repair bot a perfect companion. Because like you have 4 or 5 drops that just make your 4-drop absolutely ridiculous. Like Shredder kills Belcher without dying. Mechanical Yeti kills Belcher, has 2 health left over. 3 health left over. It's just like, it looked really solid. But then you actually get around to playing it and the early game is still not sufficient. Or the card draw is not sufficient. There's always something missing. So the fact that we can play like a normal Priest deck that's not dragon or mech and use the 2-drops that we have without waiting for turn 8 to combo it with something is like, I don't know, it's just it's due time basically.
Yeah, I think that just having a amazing 1-drop into an amazing 2-drop is so important that I imagine Dragon Priest will still be the best version of Priest, but now you'll play this guy in addition to Wormrest Agent, so now you're like way more consistent. And then this guy finds you a 3-drop a really high percentage of the time. So I think it's Priest is going to be very consistent after this card is out.
All right, well, definitely check out those decks, guys. I mean, lots of fun ones that we've talked about from Reynad and Noxious's Priest deck. But we're going to move on. We're going to do our Tink My Deck segment, which is a segment that we always that we've done in the past where you guys send in your decks and then we get a chance to take a look at them and maybe help you out with it. So here we go. We got a deck.
Tink My Deck!
Got a little audio. I forgot about that. And then we've got this deck from Kajima Tsutsumi, which looks like it's a Dragon Shaman here. So let's see what we can do for Kojima here to improve it. And for those of you that want to, you know, send in your decks for future Value Town shows, you can send them in to valuetown@champmanv.tv, and, you know, we'll definitely take a look at it. Okay, this deck has a little bit of everything. So it has, you know, a lot of the dragon elements. Got Rumbling Elemental. You guys see the deck? You guys had the link, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
All right. Anything?
Cool. So Rumbling Elemental works with a lot of the 4 and 5 drops. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I like it. I like this design, actually, because Brand Bronzebeard also works super well with all the dragons. Because, like, whether you're playing it with the high curve like Nefarian, which is a bit silly, or you're playing it with the Twilight Guardian, mm-hmm. You're still getting value double card draw from Drake. Like, that's actually really, really cool use of Brand. I like that.
Yeah, I think the important thing when building Shaman decks like this is you have to understand that if you're playing dragons, you really want to curve out. So cards like Ancestral Knowledge become very unplayable, in my opinion, in decks like this. Mm-hmm. Versus like an Aggro Shaman, it's a fine card because you like empty your hand and then you just want to draw into burn, which Ancestral Knowledge is good at. But with a deck like this, it's really going to stop you from playing like a 3-4-5 like this deck wants to do. Mm-hmm. So I'd recommend cutting Ancestral Knowledge and probably Elemental Destruction as well, because you have your own dudes. And
two Trogs. Just...
Yeah, two Trogs.
Two Trogs, yeah, that would work.
Once you're playing Trog, you only really have like Totem Golem and Crackle at that point to buff him. So at that point, I would consider maybe Lightning Bolt to go along with Azurdrake, or at least one Stormforged Axe, which is a pretty good early game play when you don't have Golem. Or even when you do.
Okay. Yeah, I think those are good suggestions. Noxious, what do you think? Anything
it's kind of tough, though, to play, like, Stormforged Axe and double Totem Golem and double Crackle without having Trogs in your deck. Like, it hurts me inside.
Well, I mean, yeah, with Trog, yeah, you'd play Trog.
You'd probably find a way to include it. But yeah, it's just, I feel like Dragon Shaman's always been one of those decks that people have tried to make work. But the Overload's always kind of messed you over, right? Like, there's really no way to get past the fact that you're not curving a shaman. And I don't even know if this deck addresses that too well. Like, they're playing the biggest minions for their curve, right? Zombie Chow, Totem Golem with Blackwing Tech, hopefully getting buffed, of course. Like, they're hoping to just play big dudes on curve and have them stick around long enough, but they don't have the staying power that something like a priest would be able to give them, the hero power. So they're still relying on curving out very much so, because until turn 4, Their staying power is very limited, so they'd probably have to put removal. Like you said, Stormforged Axe, Lightning Bolt seems like it would actually make sense.
Yeah.
Only one Storm is something that could be a little difficult to manage these days, depending on what you're running up against. But I feel like with the amount of board flood that's happening, whether it's coming from Zoo or Secret Pally, or even Shaman these days, like, you can play it against anything, really. Like, it's... Yeah, you have to have AoE. If you cut Elemental Destruction, you need to find some kind of way to deal with those.
Yeah, what do you guys think of Lightning Storm right now? Because I've actually played around with just putting Mind Control text in instead of Lightning Storm recently, just because of all the flooding decks.
I always hated the card, man. Deal 2 to 3 damage. Like,
I told them in Alpha, don't try right now. It's over. The Shaman Dream is dead. I told them that class is going to suck because its hero power is bad. Like, the RNG of it is going to screw them up if they also have the RNG with the spell. But they kind of said, you know, there's a degree of skill to manipulating the RNG, which is true to an extent. Like, you have to play around with it. Like, to play around it. Not to manipulate it, but, like, it takes a level of skill to roll high on Lightning Storm, you know?
I agree with that. But then, like, you're making the pushes for, like, high legend ranks, and...
Right.
There's no degree of skill manipulating your climb, right? If you're rolling 3 every game, your degree of skill is very high, and you're gonna get like high legend. But I agree, at mid to higher ranks, like, a good player will play around low rolls and all that. But
like, you have to play around your own card. That's what I find is messed up, is that you're actually playing a card that costs you, you know, an extra turn of doing nothing, and you're playing around it. Like, it's possibly a detriment to your game plan. And that really frustrates me as a piece of design. But, I mean, I wish they would just consider making it standard across the board, whether they lower the damage by 1, reduce the overload or something. But it's just, they're hell-bent on keeping it the way it is. And at least they gave us Elemental Destruction, a much better 3-drop. AoE clear.
It still has some variance to that one too, dude. I mean, it's like to get that five, you gotta like kill your own Azure Drake sometimes.
I wish Lightning Storm always did two damage, man. It would be so much better.
Yeah, that's.
I just wouldn't be like tilted, you know. I would know what it's there for.
Yeah.
Every time I put it in my deck, I'd be like, "This is here to deal two damage."
Yeah,
it's a consecration that overloads me, and it, you know, I can play one turn earlier. I know what's going on instead of having to hope that it does what it does.
Yeah, definitely.
The dream.
All right, so yeah, hopefully Kojima, hopefully that will help you out. Just improving this is pretty good already, so it doesn't take too much to you know, have it have you maybe ladder up just a little bit more with it. Okay, well, I think we're going to take like a mini break, like a 30-second break here. I just want to kind of plug the Patreon real quick, but I want to say thanks to all the supporters too so far, and we'll be right back with we're gonna do our call-ins. So one last minute type of getting added to this channel here. If you guys want to do call-ins, here I'll link it one more time. Where's the? Yeah, definitely come in here. But we'll be right back in just 1 second, guys.
Tink my deck!
Want to support Value Town? Go to patreon.com/valuetown. Come and join us by the hearth.
All right, we're back. Just a little quick break there. Okay, so let's do some call-ins. This is the first time we've ever done call-ins on Value Town, so this should be an experience. But we're for Patreons and subs, you guys are going to be just first priority. And then after that, then everybody else, basically. So let's see who we got first here. Hold on a second. Let's see who Mean has here. Gosh. All right, what kind of questions do you think we're going to be getting, guys?
What's your favorite color of underwear?
Oh, yes. That is definitely...
Hey, Reynad, is it true you invented yourself? Like, it's high quality.
Come on, you got to have, like, more faith in that. All right, Seepels. Seepels is here. You got a question? Are you actually there? Can't hear you.
Hey, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Cool. Got a question
All right, cool.
for us?
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to bring up a topic that Noxious had actually touched on in a thread this week. He was kind of talking about the fact that Control Warrior has, you know, become kind of the polar antithesis of the face decks, but kind of in a bad way. You know, they can deal with any single threat with under 5 mana. They deal with groups of cards with Brawl. And the main problem might actually be armor. Armor has kind of been getting out of hand. It's not uncommon to have to deal 50 to 70 damage to a control warrior to kill them. So I just wanted to kind of get all your opinions on, you know, if armor is out of hand, do we need tech cards to deal with armor, or is this not actually a big issue?
I mean, it's the only class that's doing that, right? So it's a cool thing in Hearthstone, I think. That there's one deck that gets to play with that much life throughout a game, whereas most other games, you know, you only have to deal about 38 damage. So, for me, I think it's cool. Just like another aspect of the game, and it's the only deck doing that. But...
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm surprised you even saw that comment, because it was on a thread that basically disappeared pretty quickly at some point. The OP decided to delete it. But basically, my fear, like, my only problem, I think, with Control Warrior is not so much the fact that they're able to stack armor, because they've always done that. Like, even if you go back to the era of pre-Nax or Nax Ramas, like, Control Warrior was always around and stacking a crap ton of armor. My problem is that Justicar Trueheart gives them 4 instead of 3. When I look at something like, you know, Priest, like, I like Priest as kind of my main class. I feel like we got shafted because Warriors on one end get to use it proactively. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but they can also do it preemptively. So, like, my issue with the armor stacking is that it gets a little obscene when you start accounting for just a card played on curve. Like, in a mirror match control, or even against, you know, specific decks, you can always get very high. When you start looking at Bash plus Shield Block, the Armor Smiths these days don't matter nearly as much, mm-hmm. But they still add a little bit. But the Justicar Trueheart is the big complaint I've got. It's really not the armor mechanic on its own deserves maybe a single tech card. Like, Druids have, like, I know it sounds ridiculous to say, but Druids do have armor. Mages have Ice Barrier. Like, it doesn't really matter that much because we don't get to see it. But technically, Blizzard intended for Druids to use Bite and Claw with their hero power to get some armor. So the mechanic was there to be used by multiple classes, but only one of them gets to use it with Shield Slam and get a ton of value from it. I only mind the fact that there's no way to really deal with a high health count warrior besides punching its face to the point where there's a point in the game where you can just escape concede and you know you've lost. Like, if you look at your hand and you look at the fact that Justicar was played, say, on the coin on turn 5, you might as well escape concede. There's a lot of matchups like this. So, yeah, I'd like a tech card. Probably just a minion that deals more damage to heroes with armor, something like that. Something ridiculously easy to weave in.
There is a tech card, man. It's I was actually playing a lot of Priest the day before yesterday on stream. I took Fatigue Priest from rank 200 to top 50 over the course of maybe like 10 games or whatever. But that's hours of play, that deck. Anyway, I ran into the problem you're describing where it's like, oh, Justicar Trueheart's played and you gain like infinite armor.
Sideshow Spell Eater, no way.
Yeah.
There we go. God, that's true.
Oh,
that's
God.
True. That's what I played.
That's a funny one.
Oh, that'd be so sick, dude.
Yeah, it works. That's what you have to do with Rogue to get Poison Blade to work, except in this case, it's actually a viable way if you expect Justicar to be there.
Like, at the end of the day, the, how do I put this? Like, there's always some cards that are better in some matchups, right? Like, Ysera also feels OP in a control mirror, because if you stick it and it doesn't die, like, you win the game. Mm-hmm. And realize that there's, like, no counterplay with Justicar, but it's, like, the only matchup, right? Control on control, trump card for a warrior, the class, yeah. But that's, like, I think it's okay that there's a card in the game that does that, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Zahn Mystic also feels broken with no counterplay if I'm playing a secret class, but...
Oh, because Zahn Mystic, yeah. But because Zahn Mystic only works, like, half the time, so it's a risk for the person playing it, too. All right, Seeples, thanks for the question, buddy.
All right, thanks for taking the time, guys.
All right, next up we've got Tim from England. That's actually his name. So, hey, Tim, can you hear us?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, welcome to the show, man.
Pleasure to be here. So my question's with the possibly increasing rate of release of expansions, they're like bringing out lots of new mechanics, and last one they've brought out obviously is Discover. That one's still rolling out at the moment. What mechanic would you like to see implemented into Hearthstone to make it a more fulfilling and deep game?
Ooh, good question.
Counterspell? No, I hated that. That's already so bad.
What do you mean?
What they need to put in is like Fairy Dragon, except only for your opponents. That would make me quit Hearthstone probably immediately.
Gosh.
All right. Me too. That's what Magic did. I think... I don't know. It's hard to say, right? We're not card designers. It's not like I have some secret mechanic in mind that's going to fix everything. It's more that I think Hearthstone just needs like more cards faster, basically. Because I see that during like the weeks that expansions come out, there's like more pro players at higher ranks with much worse decks like everyone's experimenting with random stuff, but like the experienced players are usually like, what I'm saying is like better play gets rewarded when new cards are just rolling out. And then if the meta is settled for a few months and there's no like new cards coming out, then people just kind of autopilot whatever the mainstream stuff is. So I feel like there isn't like a specific mechanic that should come out. It's more like there should just be more stuff coming out in general, you know, and that would make Hearthstone more deep and fulfilling. It would keep us entertained longer because I think we digest content faster than Blizzard thinks we do. Even the non, like, even the people that don't do Hearthstone stuff full time, like, it's easy to play through an adventure pretty quickly. So I just hope they make more stuff, but I don't think there's like one mechanic that's an easy fix.
So would you rather them break up like big expansions, you know, like the GVGs and TGTs into, you know, smaller, just, you know, every month type of thing? Is that what you're suggesting basically?
Probably make a video about it eventually, but my fix would be to just make one, make a 54 card or 52 card. I actually don't know how many weeks there are in a year. I think 54. That's cards in a deck. I would make one adventure that's 52 cards in one adventure, just an extra adventure. Don't break up the existing stuff, and then release it weekly like Tavern Brawl. But you just do one wing per week, but you only get like one card. I would just have that be a year round thing.
That's actually a really cool idea. Yeah, for a content release, it's actually pretty simple too, because it's just a year long progression track that people are just on.
Yeah, and that could be like Azeroth or whatever. I didn't play World of Warcraft, but like something bigger scale than this one little.
Like, I like it.
It'd be tough to pull off though, right? Especially if it was themed, right? If it was themed,
you couldn't tell everyone what the card was coming out next week, because if you told everyone the 52 at the start,
You wouldn't tell everybody the 52 because you want to have the flexibility of changing shit, right? I mean, so
yeah, if they want to take like like Christmas off or whatever, or Thanksgiving, like this week, I think we're not getting a new wing, right, or something because of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're not getting a new wing. That's right.
Right. So like, they, you know, once in a while, they need to take weeks off if there's a bug or something. But you know, a lot of cards, 40 something.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Just to throw out a mechanic, what are your thoughts on just discarding from opponent's hand mechanic, good or bad thing?
Do I start playing Fist of Draxxus because that exists? I mean, that's the question. I don't know. It's just, I feel like Hearthstone's hand size can be small enough sometimes. Like the price of losing a card in Hearthstone is very punishing, to the point where you don't play even Succubus, which is above average, and it was for a while stat wise. Like, well, it would have to be a 4/4 for people to even look at it. So the cost of losing a card is really heavy. And if I look at like that mechanic in Hearthstone, you'd have to cost those discard mechanics very highly.
Well, what do you think about discarding your opponent's hand?
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like the cost of losing a card is massive. Yeah, so if the opponent could do that to you, they'd have to prize that spell, whatever it's called, like very highly, I think.
Yeah. Ray, what do you think?
It's like, it's something that's Blizzard like explicitly said they'll never do.
I know.
Like when the game first came out, and I'm okay with that. I think like with the way Hearthstone is, the only thing it would give good counterplay to is like Force of Nature Savage War combo.
Right.
But people that like think discarding would be a fix for some things, like don't fully realize how actually tilting cards like Thoughtseize are, like in Magic, where you look at your opponent's hand and you pick one for them to discard. Like, it's not what they do. You don't remove it from your opponent's hand. You put it on top of their deck, and then you, like, break your monitor. Like, you pick it. Like, oh, he has Force of Nature Savage Roar. Let me get rid of this Savage Roar. Now I'll live. Like, what do you think he's going to draw? What do you actually think is going to happen?
Right, right.
Those cards, like, I don't know. Anyway,
okay. All right.
But the mechanic in general, I don't think it would add or take away much from the game. I'm okay with them not printing discard cards.
Yeah, I'd rather not see it, personally.
All right, Tim, thanks for your question, buddy.
No problem, thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. All right, let's take maybe one or two more fubs. It's going well. No trolls yet. Fubs. It's good.
Great.
Hey, welcome to Value Town, man.
What's happening?
Got a question for us?
Yes. What do you think about the new the upcoming rather Curse of Rafam and Cho combo for Warlock.
Lowwalker Cho with Curse of Rafam. It's funny because I brought that up when I made the card review about it, but like it's for fun. Like how do you protect in the first place? Number one, like how do you protect Cho ever? Number two, will your opponent ever play along? Because he's already one turn behind, right? There's like no way for him to really like have. It's gonna be a thing to play in fun decks, but I don't think it'll start spawning some kind of crazy Warlock, Lorewalker Cho, Curse of Rafam deck.
What does Curse of Rafam do? It deals damage to them if it's in their hand.
They have to get rid of it. But then if you have Cho on the board, they technically give it back to you, and then you have to send it back to them.
That didn't answer my question at all. I pay 2 mana, right? And then I give them a
card. Right.
Okay. And then every, like at the beginning of their turn, they take 2, or how does it work?
It doesn't say. It says that each turn, Blizzard.
Yeah, as long as it holds it. Yeah, as long as you're holding it. Here we go. I put it up. I'll put it on the screen here, real quick.
And deals 2 damage, right? And then they have to pay 2 to play it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that could actually be good, right? You have to play it in a deck where you care about dealing face damage to them. So you play it in a really aggressive Zoo deck. Mm-hmm. And in that kind of deck, Lorewalker Cho is already decent, right? Like we've seen Lorewalker Cho be played in Zoo. It's really good if you draw it early, and it's mediocre if you draw it late. But in general, Cho is okay in Zoo. So you actually could make a Zoo deck with this. The question is, would it be good? Is it better than the cards you're taking out to add these things? I'm not sure.
Aye, definitely. Think about it. You do turn 2, I think Dark Peddler. Turn 3, your Imp Gang boss. Then turn 4, Cho, Curse of Rafam. Turn 5, Faceless Cho. And that's it. You're settled.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
That's kind of interesting, actually.
I'll try it out.
Yeah, I like it.
For sure, yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's obviously something to try out. Just, I don't know if it'll be good enough to include. I mean, Curse of Rafam can be a dead card in some cases, unless you already have tempo, and then there's Crambling to get rid of it. And then it's fun. Then it's really good.
All right. Well, thanks for your question, Pups. That was
definitely no problem.
Something a lot of us will try, I'm sure. All right, last one. And this has been great, guys. Oh, we got to do this more often. All right, God, G-A-W-D. Is the next caller here.
Здравствуйте. Сегодня я смотрел новые карты и было очень интересно увидеть.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Мурлоков.
Hey. Hey. Do you speak? Hey. You speak English?
Еще раз, пожалуйста.
Oh, what is this, man?
So wait a second. Okay. I got it. Wait. So today. I was watching new cards and I seen a lot of Murloc cards and I was feeling really nostalgic about 2013 and is Murlocs gonna be back?
Okay, so are Murloc decks going to make a return from, you know, with just some of the cool cards that, like, you know, just the Paladin and things like that?
Nosh, do you want to take this one? I feel like I've been talking too much.
Sure, why not? I feel like the zero-cost Murloc is with the 7-cost Shaman spell. Like, these two together feel like the single most impactful combination of the new Murloc arsenal. Like, it doesn't look like much, but when you can play like a zero mana card that says, okay, you know, gain 1 mana, which is a coin, which is also a Murloc, which can also become a 3/3 immediately if you have the 7 spell, like anything can happen on the back of it. I feel like there's something there for Shamans to exploit, like something actually really good for them to exploit, because it feels like a better Bloodlust in that case. And with most Murlocs also costing as much as they put like Murlocs on the board, like a Tidecar costs 1, so it doesn't really cost you more to play anything can happen. It's just something you slap on top, kind of like when you play a 1-drop before Sea Giant. When you play Tidecar, you get 2 Murlocs. When you play the 0-cost, you get 1, so you're basically gaining mana. There's got to be a way to make it work. The thing is, you have to put in like 10 to 12 cards, possibly 14 in your deck,
yeah,
just to make the Murlocs work. And at that point, I feel like the way you'd have to play Murloc is like you maybe would, you know, when you play something like a tempo, like a mid-range shaman, and then if you play Murlocs on curve, they're notoriously bad, usually. Like, you have to play them all at once. But
yes,
I don't know.
Yes, yes.
So
I think, like, normal Murloc decks probably won't work because the early Murloc minions are worse than things like Haunted Creeper and Ruby and Egg. Like, the Murlocs just don't have Death Rattle. So it's weak to AoE. It's weak to other minions. But I think a combo Murloc could be a deck with Paladin where you play a lot of Murlocs just as normal minions. And then on turn 10, you play, you know, the Murloc spell. And you get back all the ones with charge and try to kill them in one turn. I think that could be pretty good. But I don't think that, like, Murloc deck that floods the board and plays every fin is awesome is going to be too good. But I imagine I'll get blown out by it at some point.
At least once.
Yeah,
we'll all get blown out by it.
Yeah, boys, let's hope that Pirat deck's gonna make a huge comeback next expansion. Eligible. Yeah,
that's right. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for the question, and hopefully we'll see you around then. All right, that was God there. Okay, Murlocs, nothing like a little bit of Murlocs. But I think that's going to be it, though, guys. I think we're about out of time. We'll definitely be doing call-ins again. I think this is really cool, getting a chance to, you know, actually talk with you guys versus just, you know, reading text. It's something that I don't think we've never done on Valley Town. So it was kind of fun. But Noxious, Raynat, thanks for, you know, doing the show this week. Want to do some shout-outs?
No, none for me.
None? All right, cool.
Yeah, I'm not very shout-out-y.
Shout out to Hype Tingara this weekend. I think they're playing DreamHack. Hopefully they do well. I got nothing, man. Shout out to Mother Russia.
Yeah. To Mother Russia.
So, the motherland.
You know, how much Russian do you know? You know quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. I mean, I understood him when he was speaking.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, yeah, just making sure you understood him. That's really cool.
I was going to translate as soon as he finished his question, but it was like he got up to the point of like, oh, I've been looking at new cards today, and then he didn't really finish because it's a long question.
Was that actually a question in Russian? I thought he was just kind of
asking what he asked in English in Russian.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I just wasn't. I was like, oh, troll, but I was like getting more at the troll button ready here. But no, it was a real question.
No,
it was really great.
He wasn't a troll. Yeah, it's just I have a really bad accent. I'm self-conscious about it. It's super hard to speak English and Russian both without accents. Your mouth moves in completely different ways. But
I'm the same way with Chinese, man. I mean, my accent is terrible. But yeah, guys, thanks for you know, doing the show, Noxious and Raynat. It's always a pleasure. And Noxious, obviously, you know, the times you're on the show, it's always a lot of fun. You always have some great insight. And then Ray, each and every week, it's always good times. And all the viewers, thanks for tuning in today. And all the callers were definitely, you know, thanks for calling in and really helping that segment. You're helping us introduce that segment. But the VODs are going to be on youtube.com/championv shortly after. I'm already uploading the first part of it. And then the audios, of course, will be on iTunes and on FeedBurner. It's on Stitcher too, but it's kind of Stitcher's weird, man. I thought Stitcher was going to be a really cool thing for non-iTunes people, but I'm not so sure anymore. But yeah, definitely look for Valley Town. You can just search for either Valley Town or Hearthstone. You'll see the podcast come up on the various places. But that's going to be it for Valley Town this week, guys. So for Noxious, Raynad, and Chan Man V, we'll see you next time. Later.